You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hope you brought an apple for the teacher, because it's time for the Star Seminar. And now, here are your hosts, Rabble Rouser and Danny Fenton.
Welcome, one and all, to another episode of the Star Seminar. I am your host, Danny Fenton, and today I will be flying solo, as the great Rabble Rouser is unavailable today. So you know what? Today we're going to do something a little different. Recently I have took to Twitter and I have polled Cowboys Nation and I've asked them to tell us what is their top five offseason moves so far from the Dallas Cowboys. So that will be our focus for today, as we're going to run through those moves. And I'm actually going to play a little devil's advocate, as you know, everybody is feeling pretty good about the moves, but you know, I want to make sure that we're taking a good look at everything. So I'm going to just play a little devil's advocate. So that's what we got going on today. You know, we're going to miss Rabs, but you know what? I'll tell you what, it's kind of on my bad side today, because last week we were talking about what we used to help get our put ourselves to sleep. And Rabs mentioned to me that he actually uses an app that has the sound of crickets. And that's how that's what he uses as a sleep aid, and the sound of crickets. And so, you know, I thought it would be a good idea to, I have an actual sound machine, and I thought, you know, why don't I try out the crickets? I have a cricket setting. So put the cricket setting on, and you know what? It worked. I actually fell asleep to the sound of crickets. The only downside of that is in the middle of the night, my wife, she woke up and she was scurrying around, and I don't know what was going on with her. She's just kind of rustling around and lay back down to bed, and then a couple minutes later she's up again and running around. I was like, what's going on? And apparently, you know, she thought the crickets from our lizard had gotten loose. And so it was like she heard the cricket sounds, and she was freaking out, thinking we have loose crickets running around. So she was not happy about that, it was just the sound machine. But nonetheless, the mystery was solved. The cricket mystery was solved. Yeah, so thanks a lot, Rabble Rouser, for helping me irritate my wife on that evening. But anyway, we're gonna move on to talking about the Cowboys off-season moves. And so what I have is from the poll that I reached out to Twitter and I asked Cowboys Nation, and you guys gave me some answers. So I have a list of what I have compiled as the top five moves for the Cowboys this offseason. So I'm actually going to go in reverse order so we can get to the best moves last, according to the feedback that I got. So the first move on here, number five, is actually the reconstructing of Tyron Smith's contract. And actually, this is one of my personal favorite moves. If you ever have a chance to take a look at that contract, basically Tyron Smith has gone from a $13.6 million base salary to a $3 million base salary, and he has more money that he can earn through incentives. These are playing time incentives, and they start out at 50%. There's another million to Tyron Smith if he can make it 50% of the snaps, and then there's another million at 55%, and they go on and on up to 90% that he could earn an additional $9 million just with playing time incentives there. Also, there are some incentives for Cowboys playoff wins. If he's available and he's playing half the snaps, then there's another $500,000 per win that the Cowboys have in the postseason. So that's money I'm sure the Joneses would gladly pay if the Cowboys could somehow go deep in the playoffs. But nonetheless, it really protects us against not having Tyron Smith. If it's nice to have him, but we didn't want to have him for $13.5 million. But now you have options to where it's like, you know what, if he's not available, then you don't have to necessarily, he won't be making as much money to count against the cap. So the Cowboys have protected themselves with that contract, and I think they did a fantastic job. But this isn't a time to praise them. You guys already have praised them with your top five moves. This is a time to criticize them, and let's flip this thing around. Like, what could be bad about this situation? It's really difficult to actually find it, but you know what? We're here to do exactly that. So one of the things that I think is important to mention is that, you know what, if this is the Cowboys' contingency plan, then are we comfortable with that? The Cowboys, we have Tyler Smith on the left side, maybe. You got Terrence Steele on the right side, and then Tyron Smith's here. So that's fine, but you know what? His availability has been an issue, and I don't know if that's even something that the Cowboys can count on. So it's risky, even though it's not going to cost the Cowboys anything. If he's misses a lot of time, they're not going to be on the hook financially. But it doesn't change the fact that the Cowboys, as a team, could be running a little bit light on the offensive line. So the big question here is, Cowboys got another plan up their sleeve? I mean, can we really count on Smith being available? So that is something that is a little bit of a concern as we look at the Tyron Smith contract. We really don't know what exactly the offensive line arrangement will look like. We expect maybe, they might put Tyron back at left tackle and move Tyler into left guard. And that could give you, ideally, that could give you the best lineup. But, you got Terrence Stills coming off an injury. How quickly would he be available? Will the Cowboys have reinforcements through the draft? We don't know. So there's still questions there. And the fact that just because Tyron Smith is on the team and he's got a great contract, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be available. So that's just something that could be a problem. So moving on to number four, the fourth best offseason move. This one's going to be a little bit challenging for me because, or at least, it's not one that would make my list, I should say that. But number four is parting ways with Kellen Moore. So, I mean, it's very clear that Kellen Moore's play calling had, gone sour with Cowboys fans. They're very vocal about they're not happy with him. That's fine. I mean, Cowboys, there certainly are moments where the offense stalled. You can point fingers at whoever you want to as far as, who you want to blame. Maybe Kellen's play calling became bland. It just wasn't innovative enough to counter the great play callings on the other side, at some points in the season. Clearly, he was okay at others. So, but you know what? I mean, he just wasn't good enough is the theory, behind that. And, could it be other things? I mean, a lot of people pointed to the lack of weapons that the Cowboys had as an issue. So that would be something that's not Kellen's fault. And then there's also those that will say, what's going on with Dak Prescott? And, he would play great. The Cowboys would do fantastic. And then when he didn't play so great, then, the Cowboys would not play so great. So there's that. But, maybe that's Kellen's fault. So nonetheless, a lot of finger pointing to go around. But no more will we point them at Kellen Moore. He's oft with the Chargers, and we'll be able to just kind of keep an eye on that and see how that develops. There's certainly some, he's got a good quarterback to work with there. AFC is a pretty rough conference, so, I mean, how far the Chargers go, I don't know. But if they end up going farther than they did last year, then that would be, I don't know, I could see some Cowboy fans having a little regret there, because it's all on Mike McCarthy now. So Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott, this is your offense. Best of luck with that, as you know, the Cowboy fans are telling ourselves. But if we want to play devil's advocate, how can this go bad? Well, it could go bad by Mike McCarthy just not being very good. I mean, we know the Green Bay struggles down the stretch of his, final days in Green Bay. They were not very good. So that's something, that we're going to have to hold our breath that doesn't happen. I mean, he does have good history of good play calling too. So it's not like he doesn't have a chance to be successful. I think most Cowboy fans believe that he will. It's a possible. Possible that does not play out that way. Losing one of the more, if you look at his resume, Kellen Moore's offense, I mean, there's a lot of things that the Cowboys, they were putting up points, they were moving ball, they were converting the red zone, they were doing a lot of good things. If this thing backfired, I don't know that it would surprise everyone, because Kellen Moore did a really good job at times. Whether people agree with that statement, I mean, that's really up to them, but I guess time will only tell with that one. So let's move on to another favorite of Cowboys Nation, and that is the re-signing of safety Donovan Wilson. So I will say this, this was not a move I thought was going to happen. I really thought that Dono had priced himself out. I figured he would get a good contract but it would not be paid by the Cowboys. And I think a lot of people were hoping, but maybe not necessarily thinking this would happen. So, but it did. And everyone's happy. Donovan Wilson is one of the splashiest players on this defense. If you're outside of the names of like Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence, I mean, Dono is right there. I mean, he's in the backfield all the time, whether it's a sack or, stopping a running play behind the line of scrimmage, and he will missile through the gaps. And he a very, very big year for Donovan Wilson. He deserves every penny that he's gotten, and fans are happy about it. But how could this possibly not be good? And I mean, if you look at it, I mean, Donovan Wilson doesn't have a huge resume of playing well. I think that he had a really great 2022 season. I think that if you look at the amount of good plays he had versus limiting the bad plays that he's had in the past, you have to remember that Donovan Wilson's he was here for the historically bad 2020 season. He was healthy that season and he was not good. He was taking bad angles. I mean, he played like he was on roller skates, just like LVE and just like Jalen Smith. I mean, there was a whole collection of bad play from the defense, and Donovan Wilson certainly is not exempt from that. But that was then. I mean, he played much better last season. And you can tell that under Dan Quinn, he's a different player. The way that Wilson is utilized is, that he uses him very well. He's basically keeps him running downhill. You don't see a lot of coverage assignments from Donovan Wilson. I mean, you got Malik Hooker back there, so why would you? I think he's used in a very smart way, and that's definitely something that makes this even better, is that you not only do you have Donovan Wilson, but you have Donovan Wilson playing under Quinn, so it's easy to have similar expectations for him. But how could this go bad? Well, the only thing that worries me, other than any type of struggles with change of direction that Wilson has exhibited in the past, is more of the front office taking the approach of like, all right, we're committed to a safety now, so it's not a high priority for us. It's certainly not something that they've ever seen them go after early in the draft. Maybe they're going to end up taking day three flyers. They tend to like to do that. I mean, geez, Donovan Wilson himself is, you know, sixth round pick. So definitely could see them kind of take a lackadaisical approach to solidifying the depth and adding depth, because they're really strong right now with Dono and Malik Hooker and Jayron Kearse. But keep in mind that both Malik Hooker and Jayron Kearse are only under contract for one more year. And, you know, we're not going to be able to keep everybody. So it could be a little worrisome if Dono is your only safety under contract, you know, a year from now, and the Cowboys are trying to put players around him in the safety group. And that could be alarming, because, you know, having Malik Hooker there handling the free safety and as your coverage safety, you know, it allows Dono to do the things that he does well. So, you know, that could be a little bit of a concern, but that's a tomorrow's problem right now. Cowboys feel really good about the safety group and just about the cornerback, the secondary in general, which leads us to our number two favorite offseason move, and that is the Stephon Gilmore trade. The Cowboys, they did one of the things that we hoped that they would do. We want them to go out there, spend day three draft capital that typically does not bring huge dividends in the draft. I mean, you'll hit every now and then, but these are really just, I mean, they're almost like lottery tickets, you know. So surrendering that for a proven player is, I mean, if you have an opportunity to do that, absolutely. And that's what the Cowboys did. You know, we saw them do this back in 2019 when they traded for Robert Quinn, traded the Dolphins for a late round pick to get him. Basically, the pick, they're taking on the contract. It's a salary transfer is what it is. The Colts are getting out of Gilmore's salary and the Cowboys are taking it on, but it's not too bad. It's only for 1 year that the Cowboys would be paying him for, so it's not something that they would be looking at to, like, okay, now we have him, you know, and we're stuck with him. It's not like that at all. He, you know, he's a veteran player. You have him for a year, and you're hoping to bridge maybe a young corner that the Cowboys may or may not select in the upcoming draft. I totally expect them to do that. So having Gilmore on the other side opposite Trayvon Diggs, I mean, has to feel good. The second outside corner position basically was the Cowboys' most concerning position. You know, if you think about it, I mean, Anthony Brown, he gets a lot of criticism. I think that a lot of that's undeserved. But when he went down, the Cowboys really had nobody else. And, you know, Jordan Lewis is under contract, but he is a huge liability outside. He's more suited to cover the slot corner spot. De'Ron Bland is thrown, his name's thrown in there to be your outside corner, but he also plays the slot much better. He can handle the outside, similar to Anthony Brown. Anthony Brown, his best years were when he was playing slot, while Byron Jones was on one side and Chidobe Awuzie was on the other side, and then Brown was the slot. I mean, that's when he had his best years, is when he was playing. But he hasn't been able to do that because of need, and the Cowboys have had a need on the outside, and so that's why adding Gilmore to the Cowboys roster makes things so much better. I mean, we have to feel really good about having a proven veteran that can come in and make plays. And I think when you look at what he offers, you know, the length that Gilmore has, he's very smart. You know, he's going to run the routes for you. He's able to see what's going on in the defense before the ball is snapped. He'll get to the spots, and that's why he makes the plays that he makes. I mean, he had a pick against the Cowboys last year. He almost had another one when Gallup was cutting in on a slant. So, I mean, if you look at what he brings, it's definitely a great pick. But we're not here to celebrate the Cowboys' great moves. We're here to criticize them and look for what could possibly go wrong. And when you look at Gilmore, You are looking at a player that is up there in age. So you always run the risk of him missing time. The older players, you know, you have, they're more susceptible to injuries and they certainly take longer to heal. And that is something that's a risk that, you know, everyone takes when they're investing in players that get older. So that's certainly something that, you know, could end up being an issue. But, you know, if the Cowboys could line things up perfectly, if they did draft a corner that maybe we could learn under, you know, Gilmore's tutelage, and then if Gilmore did get hurt, maybe he could be someone who could step in and play, you know, down the stretch. So I think that part of it's not a huge concern. I think that it's really hard to find a fault in this one. I would say that the Cowboys, you know, they are giving some of their cap resources for this move. So, I mean, he's not coming cheap. And the Cowboys are always in situations where they have to figure out what would be best as far as where they need to spend their cap resources. So there's Gilmore money that you're not getting back. But I don't think anybody's going to be too upset about that one.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So that brings us to the most popular move that basically everybody had. And I understand why they had it too, because basically the top offseason move so far, according to the fans and anybody you would ask, would be the Brandon Cooks trade. So the Cowboys traded a couple of day three picks, one this year, one next year, for the services of Brandon Cooks, who is under contract for 2 years. So the Cowboys get him for essentially 2 years. And not only do they get him for 2 years, but you know, they somehow talk the Texans into taking on, you know, $6 million of his guaranteed money that he is owed this season. And not only that, it looks, at least from what I can see, that they have talked Brandon Cooks himself into taking a pay cut for the 2023 season, because the numbers just don't add up. Something happened. Brandon Cooks was making $40 million for 2 years a few days ago, and now he's making, you know, 20 million for 2 years. So somehow something's happened to where the Cowboys have gotten him for half price. So that is super fantastic. And not only did the Cowboys get him for a good price, but he comes in and he fills a position that the Cowboys need. We all know, we all watched firsthand as the Cowboys could not get anything going outside of CeeDee Lamb. Michael Gallup was the number two, but he was coming back from a knee injury, and that did not go as well as we would have thought. You could see that his recovery was slow, and basically for the large part of the season, Michael Gallup was ineffective. And not only that, but the Cowboys really got absolutely nothing from their wide receiver three. I mean, the effort and the plays made from Noah Brown, I mean, they were valiant, and we certainly appreciate them. But, I mean, that was a tough ask of a player like Noah Brown, and he wasn't able to really help the Cowboys' offense keep the passing game going. It was something that was lacking. And, of course, speaking of lacking, I can't imagine it could have gone any worse for rookie third-round pick Jalen Tolbert, as he was practically invisible, next to nothing. I mean, unless you count lining up offsides in a crucial part of the Green Bay game. I mean, what did he do for Dallas last year? I mean, we're all kind of hoping, you know, crossing our fingers that he will have some growth and take a step forward, and that there's still something there. We don't know. So the Cowboys had all kinds of plans between Gallup and Tolbert, and they signed free agent James Washington, and then they got to sign the USFL MVP and Kevontae Turpin, and there was some wild card guys like Dennis Houston that looked really good in training camp, and then the second year receiver Simi Fehoko. So I mean, it seemed like they would get something, that there was enough darts thrown that something would hit, and lo and behold, that was not the case. It was basically crickets. No, like the crickets that, you know, that you can hear when I go to bed at night now, and it's very soothing. But it's not soothing when the Cowboys' offense is basically CeeDee Lamb and nothing else in the receiving game. So the Cowboys took action to correct that by adding Brandon Cooks, and Cooks should be a great asset to this. You know, people are asking, like, is he going to be wide receiver two or wide receiver three? I don't think we know. I think he's going to be a wide receiver two. I think if Gallup comes back and he's healthy and plays like the Gallup we know, then we're just going to have two wide receiver twos, because I don't see Brandon Cooks as anything else. And I think that he's got elite separation, and that's one of the things that we identified at Blogging the Boys. And I wrote an article talking about the Cowboys should be targeting elite separators. I had a couple different articles. I had some of the more expensive types, like your Jerry Judy's, and some players the Cowboys could potentially go after. And then I had some lesser expensive players, kind of like your Richie James from the Giants. And basically a list of guys that the Cowboy fans had no interest in signing. But they were players that you could see the Cowboys going after, because they're frugal in that way. But they were a little bit more forthcoming with shelling out some resources with the Brandon Cooks deal, because now they got a proven separator. He even more so than DeAndre Hopkins, if you look at the last 3 years. Way more so than Odell Beckham Jr. And he's really right up there with CeeDee Lamb and creating separation. So absolutely great add. I really think that the Cowboys passing game, it's going to be much improved by having Cooks on the team. And again, similar, you know, with the Stephon Gilmore, is just because he's there doesn't mean that the Cowboys would ignore that position in the draft. I mean, we could see them as early as day one take a wide receiver. There's some receivers for the taking. Will they fall to 26? I don't know. I think a lot of us have our eyes on a certain someone, you know, a certain Ohio State receiver that, man, if the Cowboys could somehow pull off a way to get Jackson Smith Najigbe. I think that everybody in Cowboys Nation would be pretty stoked about that. But nonetheless, regardless of where the Cowboys draft a receiver this season, we can say we're gonna have Brandon Cooks on this team for 2023 and likely 2024, and it will not cost that much. His cap cost basically puts him around 30th in the league, and that's, if you look at his production, that's just highway robbery. That's fantastic. I mean, Brandon Cooks has 1,000 yards with all four of the teams that he has been on. And you think about that for a second. If you start with New Orleans of Drew Brees, of course, you know, that's easy to believe. And then he goes to, you know, New England there with Tom Brady. Again, also easy to believe. And then a trade again to the Rams. You know, he was the big piece before Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp kind of started to come up and have big years. And then to Houston, and that's another one. Houston's not an offensive juggernaut. Of course, he had a 1,000-yard year with when Deshaun Watson was there, which that's easy to believe, but it doesn't even take that. He has good seasons even with Davis Mills as quarterback as well. So basically, Brandon Cooks is quarterback proof. Now he'll get Dak Prescott, and not only will he get Dak Prescott, but he will not be the receiver that everybody focuses on because the Cowboys have CeeDee Lamb. So, expectations are high for Brandon Cooks. But, again, we're here to play devil's advocate, and we need to just kind of flip this and ask ourselves, how could this go bad? And, honestly, this is really hard. And the only thing that I could really come up with is, you know, when I'm evaluating this, I'm asking myself, like, how come things were bad when Amari was here? Remember Amari's last season that he was here, that how come things were bad? And, you know, you look at things and it's hard not to think that, was it a Dak Prescott issue? Was he not getting open? And people were like, maybe Amari was like not as good as we thought he was. But then if you ask Cowboy fans, that's the one move that they did not like last year. So, and we saw Amari had a really good season in Cleveland, just, you know, despite not having as good a quarterback. So it's kind of a little bit of a mystery as to what happened there. And you have to ask yourself that, just because you have a receiver, a proven veteran receiver like Amari Cooper or like Brandon Cooks, doesn't mean it's, you know, they're going to throw the ball to him and he's going to be part of the offense. So, you know, what will the chemistry be like with Brandon Cooks? I mean, if you look back in New Orleans, if you know, people are asking, well, why did Cooks get traded so much? And, you know, they're looking for like some type of blemishes on Cooks. Not really much there, you know, I must say, but, you know, we can point to the instance back in New Orleans when he was complaining about not getting enough touches or Drew Brees not getting, having the arm strength to get the ball to him. These were things that, you know, maybe made him fall out of favor in New Orleans. So how's he going to handle it if there are games when Cooks is just like not getting looks very often? So, I mean, we never know what to expect with the Cowboys. You know, it could be a heavy CD game. You know, it could be a heavy tight end game. You never know. There was a lot of variety last year, and that could also be the case. So if we're looking at ways that this could blow up on our face, that could be one of them. You know, Cook's not getting targets. And, you know, and then suddenly you have an unhappy receiver in Dallas, and we're no better off if Cooks is not a part of the offense. So, anyway, I mean, there's the Cowboys' top five moves, and I've done my best to go through them and find things that could be wrong. I hope I wasn't too convincing, because we don't want none of these things to be actual, you know, possible things that could happen that could derail the Cowboys' season. So, before we leave here, I did want to, like, talk about one more thing. You know, Cowboy fans, sometimes we can be a little bit emotional, and, you know, a move that is made sometimes will be either elevated or, you know, put down based on how it makes us feel. And, you know, obviously what's happening this offseason makes us feel pretty good. So as far as the feels go, you know, I think that's being met. Cowboy fans feel pretty good. But does feeling good translate to winning? And so, you know, there's people have asked on Twitter this week, you know, when's the last time you have felt this good about a Cowboys offseason, you know, so far, you know, pre-draft? And, you know, a lot of people are pointing to the 90s Cowboys. And it's like, I haven't felt this good since then. And of course, we know what happened back then. So, but is that true? I mean, if you're being honest with yourself, you know, can you say this, that you haven't had some seasons in recent years where you have also felt pretty good? I mean, let's just backtrack a little bit to 2020. I know a lot of people felt pretty darn good about when the Cowboys were finally spending some money in free. Not a lot, but more than they typically do. It wasn't just bargain bins. It was actually giving some good, you know, money. It's some good, you know, 3-year contracts. You know, they got Gerald McCoy that season. They signed Dontari Poe that year. They got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And then there was Everson Griffin. I mean, there was like four defensive players that a lot of them with, all of them with Pro Bowl pedigree. And, you know, they're older and now. And so, but people were excited about, like, well, this will give this defense some strength, and that, you know, these aren't huge playmakers. We know that they're like not in their prime by any means, but these are players that can contribute. They're the key additions that can come in and, you know, be difference makers and play a strong role on the defense. And of course, none of that happened. It was just dreadful. I mean, Gerald McCoy gets hurt. Ha-Ha did not even make the final 53. That was a whiff. You know, Dontari Poe played maybe half the season, and then the Cowboys cut him. And then even Everson Griffin was basically stopped being used. It's like, he's not helping. And he was shipped off for a late-round pick himself. And so basically all four of them were just squadouche. It was just a big miss for the Cowboys. But that didn't change how we felt. And some people, not, maybe that's not you, but some people felt better about the Cowboys offseason moves because, you know, for once they were spending a little bit extra. It was people they've heard of and people they felt good about. But needless to say that the Cowboys defense was just atrocious, historically bad. And so those moves were not the answer. I try to think back, you know, when I felt good about an offseason. And, you know, if I'm being honest, it was probably back, I hate to say it, but it's probably back to 2012 when the Cowboys signed Brandon Carr. And they drafted Morris Claiborne. And it's like, boom, just like that, we got two nice cornerbacks to help in the guy. Back then, it was all Romo. It was Romo and a bunch of no-name defenders. You had a little bit of here from Ware, a little bit here, you know, from Sean Lee. But it was like nothing else. So having a couple outside corners there certainly made me feel better about the Cowboys' defense. But, you know, it did not work. I mean, Carr wasn't terrible, but he was certainly not anywhere close to that money. And even Claiborne wasn't terrible, but he struggled to stay healthy. And then, you know, he just wasn't the playmaker that he was at LSU. So, I mean, it just didn't work. And, I mean, sometimes big moves make you feel good, but, you know, sometimes they're not the answer to. So, honestly, it's really tough. So, I mean, if you ask yourself, when is the last time that you felt good about, you know, a Cowboys offseason, and you're being honest with yourself, I mean, you're probably going to take yourself to a time when, you know, you maybe felt good, but it didn't actually work. And maybe if not, maybe it does go all the way back to the 90s, and that is, you know, how you feel. And, but nonetheless, definitely feel pretty good about the Cowboys offseason thus far. I will say this, though, and this is something that fans are happy to hear, is they're spending some money. I mean, it's not huge, but the money that they're paying Gilmore and the money they're paying Cooks, this is money that they're dedicating to the cap. It's not money that they're going to be able to put away and use later. And they're actually using some of their funds. And they've also did a lot of restructuring to get to this point. I mean, how many contracts got restructured? It was starting with Zach and Dak and Tank and Gallup got restructured. I mean, I feel like anybody that could did. And so the Cowboys have definitely taken some of the base salary from the 2023 season and converted it into bonus. And now that money will be spread out over subsequent years. And, you know, it's going to come due at some point. And the Cowboys are okay with that. You know, they want the space now so they can have some dancing chips and so they can operate. And that is what's going on. And, you know, it should be a fun season for us, to at least, and the Cowboys are going to have some assets to add to this team. And, you know, hopefully we can enjoy that. But that is all we have for today. If you haven't yet, please do subscribe to the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network. Leave us a rating, write a review wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, iTunes, or Stitcher. Tell us what you think, anything you'd like us to do differently to improve your podcast listening experience. And if you ever want to talk to us about anything at all, any Cowboys hot topics, what is your favorite off-season move so far? Or hey, how do you feel about crickets? I don't know. I mean, just hit us up on Twitter. I'm at DannyPhantom24, and Rabs is at Rabble Rouser, spelled RABBLEROUSR. And don't forget to check out all the great podcasts throughout the entire week. Every day we got something new for you. Tomorrow we'll have the World's Team with Meg Murray and Paul Stewart, so make sure to check that out. But that is all we have for today. Thanks for hanging out with me. Hope you have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay happy, stay true to the silver and blue, and we will catch you later. And as my buddy Raps would say, class dismissed.